Welcome to this Bravcast, the English language Bravka Bono podcast that nobody asked for. My name is David.
And I'm a cat looking bemused in front of a plate of salad.
Right, you're really owning your meme humanity, are you now?
It's the best meme, David.
Is it the best meme?
Yes.
Is it actually the best meme?
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
So, join us again for...
Yes, this is Bravcast, the English language Bravka Bono podcast that nobody asked for. I normally do this bit at the end, but if you are listening to us on SoundCloud, you could save yourself the bother and subscribe to us on Spotify and Podcast Republic and iTunes and anywhere else you get your audio, because then we will be delivered straight to your ears, normally every other Wednesday, depending on how quickly I get the edit done.
Yeah,
so that's good, isn't it? Yeah.
We're going to have to maybe be quick smart on this one, considering we have a cup game tomorrow.
We have a cup game tomorrow. We're going to be talking about that. We are also in a packed program tonight.
A bumper.
A packed program tonight. We're going to be talking about a trip to Sokolov we didn't go on, but have watched the crappy highlights video. Thanks, FCZ TV, their shitty YouTube channel. We're going to be introducing a new feature called What's the Deal With? Which is something I came up with today, very briefly, based around a couple of ideas that a couple of people gave us on Facebook. So there's that. We're going to look back at our home game with Ustinad Labem. We're going to talk about the cup game at time of press tomorrow against HFK Olomouc. Which we are going to. We are then going to do some hot or nots. We've got a preview of Dukla Prague, which is this coming Saturday.
And again, we will be going to.
Yeah, so see you there, Bravcast fans. And then we will have a preview of Home to Vítkovice. And we have got, did I say Beer of the Podcast? We've got that as well. And we've got an English language song sung in Czech.
You did that all in one breath. I'm very proud.
Yeah, with this... with this Bravcast program, you are truly spoiling us. So,
let's get into it, David.
Let's get into it. So, a lot of people went to Sokolov, which we did last year, towards the Arsenal last year. It got very, 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 very wet.
So wet, I had to start doing match updates for this Bravcast cast in the Portaloo.
Really? I didn't realise you were doing that.
Because the drips...
Yes.
The rain...
The rain.
...was made it impossible to do otherwise. What yeah. I do
I, yeah.
for social media.
Exactly. So we did not go to Sokolov, but about 80 hardy souls made it up for a 10:15 kickoff at the other end of the country. So done to all involved.
That's a fantastic turnout.
It really is.
That's
yeah.
double what we brought to the game last season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something to shout about, particularly because it is a 10:15 a.m. and we were again backed up by some of our friends who often come and see us play out west when they can, some of the ultras of Victoria Pilsen.
Yes, so hello to any of them. If they're listening, they won't be, obviously. But yeah, it's nice to see some... There's a kind of a fan friendship between Victoria Pilsen and Zbrojovka, so that's nice.
My favourite one.
Yeah, it is. It's much better than Slovan Bratislava, which we will be coming to later. But yeah, it finished Sokolov 0, Zbrojovka 2... The main changes were we saw a first start for Juraj Kotula at right back. We had a very defensive-looking central midfielder of Honza Sedlak and Damian Barish.
Mm-hmm.
Honza Sedlak, who I'd kind of forgotten existed for a while. We didn't see him for a very, very, very long time. I don't know whether he was injured or just out of favour. But yeah, we started in a basic 4-4-2 formation. Jirka Flodar in goal and Petr Pavlík returning as well at centre-half. So... the first half roundup was we hit the post.
Good.
That was all that happened. From what I can glean, it was 0-0 at half time.
That's better than the second half against Pardubice, where was they hit the post.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And a couple of substitutions were made. Actually, no. First of all, we had a goal ruled out for offside at the beginning of the... beginning about 10 minutes into the second half. We had a goal ruled out for offside. I think Rusek, possibly.
What was it, offside?
Because it was one of those that was a sort of... it was hit from about 20 yards. The goalkeeper saved it, and there was somebody basically standing on him.
Oh, okay.
Rusek, to sort of poke it home, mm-hmm. and then not really look disappointed that it was disallowed. Like, he clearly knew, you know, like, you know. From that camera angle, the Zbrojovci were, like, you can see them from the camera angle, and even they are just like, yeah, it's clearly offside. Like, no one's celebrating. Yeah. It's that obvious. So, yeah, that happened. And then after a couple of substitutions, Robert Bartolomeu, who has been on the pitch a minute, probably, something like that, opens the scoring with a nice finish from a very acute angle. The ball goes, it's sort of crossed, misses everyone. Bartolomeu's running in at the far side, takes a touch. He looks like he's taken it too far, mm-hmm. but to make up for his miss from a very, very similar angle in Vlašín, absolutely yeah. thumps it home.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, nice goal there.
That's good. That'll do wonders for his confidence as well, because depending on the situation with Stepanovski, he could be playing a lot more of a part in this Brovka team than he was sort of like last season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the second half of the season, he just didn't play at all.
Yeah. And then 6 minutes later, there is a ball across goal that sort of skitters across goal, avoids sort of four or five people, about three Sokolov defenders and two Zbrojovka forwards. And who pops up just inside the penalty area after absolutely screaming up from left back?
Was it Jirka Floder?
It was not Jirka Floder. That would have been amazing. But it was Pavel the Iceman Iceman.
Aha.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, gives me leave to introduce... Introducing, ladies and gentlemen, the Iceman alarm!
Pavel Iceman! Pavel Iceman!
Yep. In a misguided fashion, whenever your friend and mine, Pavel Iceman, scores or does something decent this season, we've introduced the Iceman alarm as a way of acknowledging that at 34 he's aging like fine cheese.
Good. I mean, you'll be looking forward to wheeling that out twice Never. More this yeah. season.
I don't know. I feel the Iceman alarm is not purely for goals, it's for anything that I feel he's done well.
Oh, I see, okay.
So it's completely arbitrary.
You're the arbiter of this, okay.
I certainly am. Anyway, that was pretty much it for that game. I mean, we didn't see it, we weren't there, I just saw the highlights, but it looked pretty uninspiring. It was a solid win.
It's encouraging, though, because the obviously we've got so much more to talk about, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but... The one thing that the team has always had problems with, and let's just exclude the second half of last season from this, is being able to like grind out away wins.
Yeah.
So if we can sort of not be incredibly, you know, convincing, but still like score two goals, keep a clean sheet, yeah. I think that's going to stand us in good stead.
Yeah. Winning without playing well, hashtag mark of champions. So we are coming to a new section, which is called So What's the Deal With? And this week it's So What's the Deal With Sokolov? This is replacing railway station jingles, because we did all of those last year. So Sam, what's the deal with Sokolov? What do you know about it?
It's in Karlovatsky Krai.
It is.
It is full stop. It's very wet.
Well, I mean, probably not all the time. But.
It's to be expected. Like, you go there with very low expectations, being like, this is a former mining town.
You're not disappointed.
And you are not disappointed in that regard. People there were perfectly nice, actually.
Yep.
They allowed me to drip water, listener, all over the pub.
Yeah.
After the game. We had a very nice taxi driver.
We did. I will also tell you what's the deal with Sokolov. It is twinned with Saalfeld in Germany, which is the historic seat of the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
Really?
Yes.
Shout out Big Liz.
Dynasty there. So Saalfeld is doing a lot better than Sokolov is. I can tell you that now.
That
I had
right?
a look at Saalfeld. Uh-huh. Bloody lovely. It only became Sokolov in 1948. It had its name changed.
Ooh.
Previously, it was called Falknov nad Ori.
Yeah, Sokolov is a bit zippier, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was part of the Sudetenland, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And something else that I have decided to put in the So What's the Deal With section is I've been looking for local musical artists from every small town or wherever that we go. And so the first example of this is MC Mateus, is this okay. chap. And this is a track called Těžký šefům, Tough Box. Kukan brkastrkam, tam kudy strkam, drinka čaj. Slávy jste jak kuka, prťan jak místo nohy ruka, neberu kokain. Jsem OK jak rokec Mickey Volka, jsem kreténů komůrka, jsem rána stopůrka, horší jak letní horka, samice odborce je borka, jsem blbce porce, jak pes tvýho dvorka, reprozdávám jak dorka, do kosti morka, z radosti pustím bortka, můj vodkaz, sladký jak jahůdka, kysele jak důdka, nebo zlátku okurka, rozjete jak motorka, nesmysl jak tadle sloka, jsem rýmu žumpa nalité jak pumparý mustoka, už to odpalo tak. No tak, už to motám, jak tebe slovem, který špatným směrem hltám, ne do ale ven přes hrtám, vrtám se v tom jednou do roka, pustím na Lukas Mitli z potoka. Dám si cígo a turka, jsem horká profesorka, bageta. What do you reckon?
Wow, it's like Czech 8 Mile.
What? Yeah, okay.
Are you sure he's not Scottish?
I'm sure he's not
Mick
Scottish.
Mick Mathias?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, good on him. I hope he has a long career and doesn't get shot, question mark?
He'd probably die in a mining accident is more likely.
Good.
But,
no, not if he's a... Good well, isn't good, not as in good he'll die.
Yeah.
I don't want to start this feud.
I can give you my other options that I had, actually.
Please do.
There was a band called Boron, which is excellent, who described themselves as hardcore power.
Is that in dance music or in like metal?
Metal.
Okay.
There was a band called Huge Rat, which I like. I don't know why I like that. It's a weird combination of words. That, Huge Rat.
I really like that as a name, actually. Like even like from like an English speaking country, yeah. Huge Rat. I think that's yeah. quality. I like that.
Post hardcore, apparently.
Ooh.
There was Levoruki Eda, who describes themselves as alternative art rock, and they were utterly dreadful. Their first song, well, only song I listened to by them was called My Wife Smokes Crack. So
this sounds exactly like the band that I really like, though.
I doubt that. There was also Monica Kay, who described herself as a folk alternative, but just sounded like a sort of sub-rock set.
Uh-huh.
Sort of, you know, rock set in their slower moments, 90s kind of guitar pop thing. I feel that's the most interesting of a fairly predictable bunch.
I think I've just cottoned on to this. Is this What's the Deal thing just going to be, when it comes to the Brno Derby, a chance to talk about your band?
Yes. Yes, it is. So, home last Friday, we were at home to Ústí nad Labem.
Mm-hmm. Team that caused us a lot of difficulties last season, 2 draws.
Yeah, and surprise, surprise, there's yet another draw.
Love a 2-2 draw with Ústí, don't we?
Love a 2-2, yeah. Started in sort of a 4-5-1, but I think...
4-2-3-1.
Yeah, the team sheet said it was a 4-2-3-1, which it sort of was. Barish and brand new signing David Kurška. Going straight into the action.
More of him later, maybe.
And then Bartolomeo, Rusek and Shumbara behind Big Luke up mm-hmm. top. Kotula starting his third game in total, I believe, second in a row.
Uh-huh.
So that's nice. Like, that's third game in total of his Strojovka career. Second in a row. And after 4 minutes, we went behind, didn't we?
Yep. through Flutter's legs.
Yes, gave the ball away and Yuba Drame mm-hmm. megged Flodder. But 2 minutes later, Anthony Rusek got 2 bites at it and yep. finished, not with aplomb, I don't think that's right, but he mm-hmm. finished.
So it's a well-worked goal, though, because like if you look at the whole passage of play, we rip that defence apart because there's a ball... played across the box, and then he does get the 2 bites of it.
Yeah.
And that sort of set the pace, I suppose, for the rest of the first half.
We looked very good for the rest of the first half. We looked very good indeed for the rest of the first half. Went in at half-time at 1-1. And yeah, Usti sort of got back into it a little bit, but we never, like, we always looked the more likely to score.
Yeah, I think so. I think it almost looked like we sort of ran out of steam a little bit as well. We're hampered by a couple of things. Because the first half, like, Iceman, who does, to be honest, for a left back, does a lot of our creativity.
He was very good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he gets booked for simulation in the... I think it's booked... No, it doesn't get booked for simulation. He goes down, clutching his face, which, to be honest, looked a bit like simulation. It looked like he was making a meal of it, and was then remonstrating with the referee and then got booked for it. And that maybe hampered him somewhat.
That also will be a running theme of this game as well.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, of course, it's the head injury... Derby, I don't know.
And general refereeing remonstrations.
First half, that boy got absolutely taken out. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he got a ball full in the face from about 10 yards. Like, you could.
It was Iceman again, wasn't he?
I think it was.
Play the alarm.
But okay, let's play the alarm.
Pavel Iceman. Pavel Iceman.
And yeah, you could almost feel it from the stands. He was.
Oh.
I can't remember a time when I've seen somebody get walloped in the face that hard by a ball.
And he stayed down. It was like, oh no.
Yeah, it was really. Yeah, ouch.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure at the time I was screaming that the referee had stopped play as well. Because we were in such a good position. But yeah, like, there was a lot of head injuries and there was a lot of refereeing interference in this game. He didn't seem to have control over it for a lot of the time.
He lost control of it just after Zborovka's second went in. We were looking a little bit of a lost cause, but then a ball in from Shimon Shumbara on the right finds the sort of Bambi on ice form of a stumbling, falling Lukasz Magiera who gets something on the end of it from about 3 yards out and scuds
it in.
Yeah, it was graceful's not a word I would choose, but it was effective.
It was effective.
Yeah, scored. And in the 87th minute, Usti get a penalty. I can't really remember this, and on the highlight reel, it's not that clear.
No. So, Right, at the time, and I tweeted this, I was really, really adamant that it wasn't a penalty, right? And I've looked at it back a bunch of times, and actually, it's still not a penalty. It's okay. Like, it's ridiculous. Right, well, basically, Fortune Bassey, Shirley's son, who comes on with like 15 minutes to play, I think.
We were overjoyed that Fortune Bassey, Shirley's son, made it onto the pitch.
I thought he was really good when he came on. I thought he had I thought he had a lot of zip. He liked to try and get onto the ball, liked to go in for sort of like try and chase down things. I thought he looked really good for Usti. So, you know, and I thought he was just this random from nowhere, but he looks quite decent. And what he does is he gets into a position where he looks like he can strike the ball, and he falls over himself.
Yeah,
And Kotula is beside him. And that's obviously a second yellow, which is a red card. So Kotula goes off and it's a penalty to Usti.
I don't think that's what got Kotula sent off, though.
Really?
I think he was done for barracking the ref because he had been booked previously. He'd been booked... He was booked on 70. And I think he's just up in the face of the ref and gets himself sent off. Then the penalty goes in, and then Usti get a man sent off.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact course of events. However, that was when, like, those last sort of 7 or 8 minutes, it just descended into utter farce. People hurling themselves to the ground, crunching into tackles. It was,
This is it. If I can bring it back just for 2 moments as well. I think that a big thing that sways the keeper is that Kotula does one of the things I, like, think is, like...
The ref, you mean?
Yeah. I think is like kind of a stupid thing to do, and it happens all the time in all levels of football, which is somebody goes down right beside you and you put your hands up. You put your arms up as if you didn't touch him, which to me always just seems like guilt. Feeling like he got something on it. And I don't think he did at all.
You're sort of protesting too much, aren't you, in a way?
Yeah. I think so, because like, if there's nothing wrong, you should just be playing through, surely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just did go into a bit of a shambles at the end. Mm. It's not a penalty, and I think we were worth the 3 points over the piece.
Yes,
so
I do. Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. And what's even more unfortunate is there has been a little bit of backlash about this result as well. What I've seen some people mm-hmm. on social media being like, can't believe that we drew with this team that only finished fifth in the league last season. It's like,
only finished fifth, we finished third.
Yeah,
so, you know.
They had a decent enough season last season. I think I think that they were the second best team. There were sort of flashes of a team there that'll be seventh, eighth, around, up in the top half at the end of the season.
Yeah, they're a solid mm-hmm. side.
But this is one where I don't think you can really blame too much on the players' effort. The start of the second half was a bit sluggish. I think there's a real tactical problem there as well, where we are one each. We should be pressing for a goal, and then we take off we take off Bartolomeu, and we replace him with Andre Winter.
Winter, yeah.
And Winter, we always remember this, that Winter is technically a left back.
Uh-huh.
Often played in a sort of a left defensive midfield role by Schuster, but he's technically a left back. He should really be covering for Iceman if he's suspended or injured.
Yeah.
So why you put something on, and this was giving me a little bit of echoes of, remember when we went a goal down to Cesc Budějovice 3-2 after being 2-0 up, and then Magera went off for Winter with 15 to play. I thought it was really senseless.
It's kind of cowardly, I think, particularly in home games where you have built this up as, we are expected to win this, we need to win this, and it's a very negative move. It's a very
And it's a shame, because this 4-2-3-1 sort of thing we did as well, I thought really had its merits, because you have Rusek in my favourite spot for Rusek, which is behind Magera.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also practically forced to play this position right now if you are Zbrojovka. I think we'll be maybe favouring this a little bit more than the 4-4-2 in coming weeks, because we now have an absolute glut of midfielders. Yeah. We've got 11 midfielders in
We've
the senior team.
We've got 73 midfielders.
On the books.
89 midfielders.
But 11...
174 midfielders.
But this is the thing, though. Like, we've got 11 midfielders, right? So we can sort of chop and change and have fun. Like, as I think we said... didn't say last time, actually, but Pakhlopnik and Stepanovsky are back training with the first team. Mm-hmm. They'll be really back really soon. So we can sort of chop and change and sort of be kind of inventive there. But it's like, if we lose a centre-back, we're fucked, you know? If we lose another striker, we're fucked. So mm-hmm. it's really strange. And hence it's really strange that we had Kurska, and he started as well.
Yeah.
But he actually looked pretty good.
Yeah,
he's a different sort of player that we do, because we don't really have these small guys with glass legs.
Yeah,
who sort of like to sort of flap about. But I thought it was quite effective at sort of driving the thing.
Yeah, for a first game in a new team with a new system, very impressive, very nice.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I was rambling.
That's all right. Let's have a look at HFK Olomouc, who we've got in the cup at time of going to press tomorrow. Well, at time of recording tomorrow. 704 midfielders. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is a preview of our cup game against HFK Olomouc of the Olomouc suburb of Holice, who we played three years ago?
It was 2 years ago, actually.
Two years ago. And we lost, didn't we? We were beaten by this bunch of part-timers from a suburb.
Brvni Holický fotbalový klub Olomouc.
Yes, and we accidentally got a bus to somewhere called Mass Concern, which was like an incredibly Soviet place to be dropped off by a bus driver who was very confused why three Brits, because Hannah was there, got on this random bus and got off outside a meat depot by a field in the middle of nowhere. So that's, hopefully we'll remedy that this time. But Sam, what have you got for us on HFK Olomouc?
First of all, do you want a fun fact about Holice?
I would love a fun fact about Holice.
Up until 1974, it was its own village before becoming a part of a suburb of Olomouc.
Okay.
So HFK. So when we beat them in the cup, we joined them in the second round as a first league team. Remember that? And they were struggling at the foot of the MSFL.
When we lost to them in the Cup, you mean?
Yes. Well, we entertained them in that. Well, because they had a round before us, because they're the lower team.
Right.
So we entered the competition in the second round. They did in the first.
Yes.
Because they beat Fredrik Mistek in the first round.
Right.
Which, again, was a league above them at the time. Still is, actually. And Musefio Ishiro strike for us.
Yes.
Just after the second half wasn't enough and we went down 2-1.
Yep.
Do you know what Musefio Ishiro is doing now?
I don't, but I'd love to know.
He's now playing for Drava Ptuj in the Slovene Second League.
Ah.
So there you go.
That's lovely.
To underscore how bad that Zbrojovka result was, in the next round they play Hradec Kralove and they lost 8-1 at home.
That was... Olomouc playing and losing 8-1.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, really bad. They struggled along in that season as well. They just about got them safe. They then got relegated the year after into Divisi E division. And so far they played one game of the season and won one. And they beat Vyshkov.
100% record there.
I know, right? They beat Vyshkov to get here, which is, again, a league above.
Yeah, fair enough,
so they have a little bit of this sort of form, but...
I wouldn't say giant killing, but slightly larger man. Yeah. Megara killing.
Yes, form, for sure. So, yeah. So what I would at least like to see, I don't know about you, is having a pretty strong bench, but giving a lot of players that I think will be sort of fringy some game time.
Maybe play Vinter at left back.
Well, maybe play Vinter at left back. He won't. But things like giving Kiška a bit more time to play with the team as a first team player.
Yeah, I would also stick with Juraj Kotola at full back because he's now going to miss league games through suspension. So give him this game.
That's not a suspension in all competitions, is it? It's just for league?
I think it's just league.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but... Like, if it is just league, then give Kotola a run out because he'll be missing at least one.
Yeah, that's true. I want to see Mach play as well. Fosek if possible. Maybe even Prihistal, but I'd like to win the tie. So I don't know about that. But, you know, maybe sort of this is your time to sort of dick about a little bit. And then if things are starting to get a bit severe, get more experienced heads off the pitch, on the pitch even. So it should be good. It's an interesting stadium with a terrible name. It's just, you know, sort of town football stadium, Holice. Yeah. Covered in netting in the away end. It's in the middle of a foresty sort of bit.
The view from the away end is one of the poorest in this country, I think. I can't remember anywhere that... Well, Kudim.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is... The stand that you're in is very, very shallow and... Yeah, it's covered in just like not just one net. It is.
Yeah.
It's a fisherman's nightmare.
Yes,
yeah, frankly,
double
netting, it's a, yeah. It's really, really awful. Uh-huh. You cannot see a lot on the far side of the pitch. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we'll win comfortably. I think we've got a little bit too much quality, despite having a little bit of a sluggish start.
Yeah.
And the main to be honest, the main concern, even though the winner of this cup gets into the Europa League.
That's the dream, Sam.
Yeah, it'll be eyes on Dukla Prague, I think. So
yes, I agree with that. So is that all you've got for half?
That's all I've got for half.
Good. Okay, let's do some hot or not, shall
Ooh.
We? Ooh, exciting times ahead. Is it a hot? Is it a not? Sam, please tell me. Tell me what's what. Is it a hot? Is it a not? That's all I can think of that rhymes with not.
Pot.
Pot. Cot.
Coyote.
Cotula. Is it a hotula or a notula? Cotula. That's... What? What? There you go again. So, do you want to go first?
Quality stuff.
Yeah, this is broadcasting professionalism at its finest.
One each this week, I think.
Yeah, one each this week.
All right, so I'm going to start off with a hot, and my hot, David, is Marek Vinter.
Right.
So,
brother of Ondra.
Brother of Ondra Vinter. And he's been put out on loan until the end of the year with our friends at SK Lyseň.
Yeah.
Three appearances for them. and he has scored in every game.
Oh, good for him.
Including an 86th minute strike to draw with Hradec Králové.
Yeah.
And an 88th minute goal to beat Vlašim on Sunday.
Oh, lovely.
So, good.
They're doing well, the old Líšeň boys.
They are. Do you want a bonus?
I absolutely do want a
bonus bit is, yeah. Well, the bonus bit of the hot.
Right.
Is that, and we haven't discussed this actually on the pod yet, but the reason that we have Krška playing for Zbrojovka now is that podcast Yay. Favorite Martin Zekel,
and we use the word favorite quite wrongly.
He's gone the other way, so he's that was a bit like swings the other way. He's gone to Líšeň on a I think a 6 month until the end
six
of the year loan. Yeah. He started the game against Vlašim. Did he score?
Did he bollocks?
No. Who replaced him?
Was it Vinter?
It was Vinter. So,
yeah.
We've been quite outspoken on how we think that Zekel isn't good enough for this team. So, I was surprised he even got a start with Líšeň because he seemed to know what's up and they've got quite a decent team at the moment.
Yeah, I think you said he was put on the plane to Líšeň or something. He wasn't. He was put on two buses and a tram to Líšeň. As soon as the... as soon as line 8 gets fixed, it'll be a lot easier to get out there. It's a pain in the ass to get out there at the moment.
I don't want to go out there if it's got Zekel playing. Is it what, 2 goals and 1 assist in like 3 years or something like that?
Yeah,
two seasons.
Pretty ropey.
It's not good.
The Zekel virus there. Do you want a hot or a not?
I'll have a hot and then we'll do the not.
All right, okay. So my hot is not from this week, but it's something I found out this week.
Oh, good.
This is quite good fun. Do you remember a player called Sanchez Watt? There's no reason why you should. Because
I do. I'm not going to give anything away, but I believe former player for Hemel Hempstead Town in the non-league.
Yes, he was an Arsenal player, an Arsenal youth prospect, and he was supposed to be pretty good, but he's sort of dropped down to non-league now. He's currently at Wealdstone FC.
I think we probably read the same article on our lunch breaks.
Very possibly. Sanchez Watt, while at Hemel Hempstead, was sent off for dissent when the referee asked his name to book him, and he replied with "Watt" in a really arsy manner. And the referee thought he was being cheeky, so booked him again and sent him off. I think that's amazing.
That's really good. Like, he was done for dissent rather than a really filthy tackle.
Well, I mean, I think...
it would have been dirty Sanchez, right?
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. That's a good hot.
That pun, though, could be my not, to be honest. I just leave that out there.
Oh, feel free.
You've got a not, though.
I do have a knot, yes.
Qu'est-ce que c'est le knot?
My knot is internet football fans and their shite opinions on mascots, David.
mascots is quite a thing of yours, isn't it?
It is. I'm a big fan of the football mascot.
Yes.
Because I think it the kids can get a photo or whatever. You know, you've got people being like, "You fat bastard, you fat bastard," or whatever, to a guy in an animal suit. I think it makes the game a lot better. I think I've spoken on this podcast before about Dunfermline's mascot, Sammy the Tammy.
Yeah.
I won't today, but...
Coventry's mascot, for those of you who are interested, shares his name with one person on this podcast, and it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sky Blue Sam. He's an elephant.
He is an elephant.
The mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I'll never forget, David. Right, so a very good Twitter account on the internet, which is, it's called Mascot Minute Silence, which has got photos of football mascots observing the minute silence.
It is a good one.
I can't do it justice. Look at it. They did their World Cup of football mascots.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the winner was?
Was it that boiler from West Brom?
It was not. The winner, with 56% over Partick Thistle's mascot Kinsley, was Arsenal's Gunnersaurus.
Oh, fuck off, Gunnersaurus. Come on.
He's a shite mascot.
It has nothing to do with Arsenal at all. He's a dinosaur. Yeah.
It's very obvious what his eyepiece is, because he wears this sort of like weird brooch that has like the old Arsenal logo on it. It's not good. Funny you mentioned Boilerman. So I'd like to tell you about Gunnersaurus' road to the final, if I may.
Oh, this is going
to
be good.
Right, so Gunnarsson's road to the final included a semi-final beating of West Brom's Boiler Man, who is a boiler with legs.
He looks uncannily like, if you've ever seen the first Wallace and Gromit film, A Grand Day Out, he looks like the parking meter that lives on the moon.
Exactly what you mean? That's fantastic.
The skiing parking meter that lives on the moon.
It's his little like sort of
it's stumpy extremities.
It's his wee legs, like they're just normal people's legs. It sort of reminds me a little bit of, you know, Professor Frick's the house, which if it gets broken into or whatever, just like runs away and goes on fire.
In the Simpsons. Run down the street to safety. Of course, the real people won't burn quite as fast as that. So
beats West Brom's Boiler Man in the semi, has a quarter-final tussle with FC Metz's dragon mascot Greu, who looked legitimately badass, by the way.
That's on the Metz badge. They have a dragon.
But he barely got out of a group as one of the there was a group stage as one of the best second place finishers. So he got out of the group there, which had his group featured. I'm a fan of this one as well. Real Betis's palm tree mascot Palmarine.
He's very good, actually.
He is very good. Your German lads, Schalke's Erwin.
Mm-hmm.
And
Erwin's weird. He's just like a cartoon rendition of a chap, isn't he?
Cartoon dude, yeah. Erwin.
He's supposed to be a miner, I think. Like, not somebody young, but somebody who works down a mine.
I thought it would be naturally it would be some sort of horse or something for Schalke, but no.
No, he's supposed to be a cartoon miner, I think.
He's good, though. I quite like him. But Palmarin is delicious. Obviously, someone's always got to be there to make up the numbers, and that's West Ham's Hammerhead.
Oh, Jesus.
Dreadful mascot. There was a full sort of World Cup sort of thing going on. There was multiple groups. So apparently, according to people on the internet, Gunnarsson is not only better than Thistle's mascot, Kingsley.
Yeah.
But he's better than Cyril the Swan, who can't fuck with the swans.
Yeah.
Or
Cyril the Swan, who just calls other mascots out for a scrap.
Or everybody's favourite as well, and you remember this as well, Lagan's 7-foot-tall cucumber mascot, Super Pepino.
Yeah. Lovely stuff.
It's a farce, it's a shambles, and democracy, David, does not work.
Yeah.
That's my not for this week.
Okay, my not. I couldn't decide if this was a hot or a not, because it's not because it's kind of tragic and crap, but it's hot because it's quite funny as well.
Oh, a cusp one.
So I was teetering, listener. Uh-huh. I was having a bit of an old teeter on this one. And it is the managerial situation at Slovan Bratislava. And that was beer out the nose. Beer out the nose for the first time on the pod from Sam Beaton there.
This is such a hot, by the way, but on you go. That's fucking great.
Right. Settle in, listener, and I shall tell you a story.
I'm going to put the beer down.
Right, now, Slovan Bratislava were last year's champions of Slovakia.
By quite some distance.
Yeah, they only lost one game all season, right? They only lost one game all year. And Zbravka have a bit of a thing with Slovan Bratislava. It's another one of our fan relationships, and they bring a lot of idiotic teenagers in like black hoodies and those horrible mask things to sort of look hard and start fights with the wall.
It's a fetish that you should be embarrassed to have, like the adult baby takeover.
Yeah, anyway, so Slovan Bratislava won the Slovak League at a fair canter last season. They only lost one game, as I said. And their manager, their up-and-coming young manager who masterminded that success, Martin Shevala, was given the boot after, I think, two league games this season because they lost, as we mentioned before on this podcast, to FK Sutjeska Nikšić of Montenegro in the Champions League qualifiers. They were, I hasten to add, still top of the Slovak League at this point, two games in. But he lost to this side from Montenegro in the Champions League qualifiers and was promptly given the old heave-ho. They were then, assistant manager was put in charge, Vladimir Arenković, who is Serbian. And their next game was a Europa League qualifier against Feronikeli of Kosovo. And Radenkovic either couldn't or wouldn't travel to Kosovo. So he had one league game in charge, and the Europa League game, Europa League qualifying game, came up, and Radenkovic wouldn't or couldn't travel.
It's a strong suggestion of wouldn't,
yes,
to be honest, because there is a decent enough Serb population in Kosovo.
So he was then given the boot, and Srđan Zirojevic, who is another Serb and was the fitness coach, then took over for one game.
What, happy to travel to to Kosovo, the other one?
Apparently so, yeah. So
wow.
Shevalar got two games in charge and the Champions League qualifier. Radenkovic got one league game. Zirojevic got one Europa League qualifying game. And now they have their fourth manager in four games. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, as was then. Yeah, they had four different managers in four games. They are now being managed by Jan Kozak Jr., who was third choice for the manager's position. They approached Karol Jarolím, legendary player and coach before, and Vladimir Weiss.
Oh, who is currently former Hun.
And currently the manager of...
Ooh.
If you get this, I'll be amazed.
Is it a Slovak team?
No.
Where's it from?
I can't tell you that. He's a national team coach.
Oh, it'll be something stupid. Like, can I just have a guess?
Go on.
Tajikistan.
Georgia.
Oh.
So anyway.
Wait, is that Big Vice or Little Vice?
It's the older.
Oh, okay. Because for a minute I was like that.
They're both
that prick that played for Rangers.
But no,
yeah.
it's
because I thought he's still recently retired.
Yeah, no, I think it's older, uh-huh. Vladimir Weiss. Anyway, Jan Kozak Mladi got the gig, who was third choice, and he has been in charge for three games, I think. He's won the whole lot of them, so they're still top, but he is officially still only in temporary charge. So we'll see how that absolute nut, like what happens there. Slovan, by the way, at time of recording, are an hour away from kicking off against Dundalk in Dublin. They scrape past them 1-0 in their home leg.
93rd minute, was it?
Yeah. So if they get knocked out by Dundalk, I will laugh.
So will I. Is Winkler there?
If he took my travel advice, I think he probably will be. So shout out to Lukas, who I know doesn't listen to this podcast. But yeah, I think there's a... I mean, Slovan fans will be going over anyway, but there's a couple of the Zbrojovci ultras who are going over to, support Slovan and have the old Guinness. So.
Well, we won't be in Europe anytime soon.
I'm going to Finland in a month, but that's by the by. That's not anything to do with football.
And we will be winning the cup.
That's right, yes. Anyway, so those are hot or nots. Let's talk about the team which gives you all you want for Christmas.
Good.
And he managed to get hold of the Duke of Prague away kit, cos his uncle owned a sport shop, and he kept it to one side. And after only 5 minutes, he'd be down to 10 men, cos he'd sent off your right back for taking the face from under his left winger. And come to half time, you were losing 4-0. Each and every goal, a hotly disputed penalty, so he'd smash up the floodlights, and the match was abandoned. And the dog would bark, and you'd be banned from his house. And your travelling army of synthetic supporters would be taken away from you and thrown in the bin.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you heard a short clip of the world's finest pop exponents and satirical nonsensiclers, Tranmere Rovers' most famous fans, Half Man, Half Biscuit, with their 1980-something, I don't know the year, single All I Want for Christmas is a Dukla Prague Away kit, which is one of the only reasons anyone in Britain really knows Dukla Prague. But
yeah,
there you go.
Cult thing.
Yes, they are a cult thing. If you know somebody who's a fan of like kind of cult British indie, getting them a Dukla Prague Away shirt is a very good present. Because they all understand the reference.
It's also fitting, not just because we're playing Dukla Prague Away, but because it's a 10:15 kickoff, I'll be half man, half husk.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, the 6:07.
I'm going to be half man, half rusk.
Are you not out in Prague before? So you'll be half cut, half biscuit, surely.
I'm staying in Prague overnight. I'm going up on a work junket on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I'm staying somewhere which... As yet, I don't know, but yeah, I'll be seeing you, as Patrick McGowan used to say.
So we'll be miles away from the pitch in the top left part of Stadion Juliska for this one.
Yeah,
which our previous trip to that was a fantastic win for us after a ghost goal
mm-hmm.
where Dukla had a shot which didn't go over the line, was given a goal, and then an incensed Kuba Rzesniczek made it 2-1 to Flinta.
Kuba, so, where are you now? Kuba, Kuba, where are you? Opava.
Well, we know where he is now, yeah. So this will be a fun one because they were absolutely hopeless last season. They got relegated from the first league.
So what can you tell us about them, Sam?
Well, David, they freshened things up a little. They lost 1-0 to Jihlava last Friday, and there were 5 survivors from the team that lost to Przybram on the last day of the season, last time out. They brought in a lot of defenders, which is quite a few with experience at this level, and this is really important, because you'll like this, because they play a 3-4-3 formation.
Ooh.
Which is completely unique, I believe, to Czech football.
Taking it back to the 70s.
So,
like that.
I don't think anyone does it in the first league. They certainly don't do it down in the second tier. And so their back three is quite interesting. It's Kozma, who arrived in January from Varnsdorf. Mm-hmm. So not strictly new. He's had 6 months to gel with the team. Whatever. And Varnsdorf, we knew from last season, had a very good
defense. Very strong defensively, yeah.
Which seems to have completely just passed them by now. They look... From what I saw in the Lishen game at the start of the season and from what I see from subsequent results, they look like they're in real trouble. Even though, obviously, we always look at the other side of the coin and go, it's only 4-5 in when Zborovka are disappointing as we are every season. There's Chlumecki, who was out on loan at Jihlava last season. So, again, experienced down this level. And Piroch, who was a free transfer from Pilsen.
Oh, nice, okay.
There is some quality here, though. Mm-hmm. So you might remember Vojta Hadaščok.
I do remember Vojta Hadaščok.
Goal and assist against us last season over 2 games playing for Vlašim.
Nice player.
Arrived in January, time to gel with the team. Pablo González. Got one against Šiškov, and Lukáš Holík has scored 2 recently. That's their front three in this 3-4-3. So there are some goals in there. 2 wins, 2 losses. So... Around us as well. We are unbeaten, but they've had, 2 wins and, 2 wins, 2 losses. So same points. We even have the same goal difference as them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a finely poised game.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well because we've not had as many match days in Prague this over the last year.
Yeah.
Because of our current situation. So it should be quite nice. And also our friend James will be in Prague for the game. So we're looking forward to seeing him and getting some beers.
And it will also be the first away day experience of the newest Gentleman Ultras member, John.
Yes.
John, the slightly confused New Orleansian who has...
New Orleans.
Who has got himself a season ticket for this year and has come along and been very game. So he's coming up to Prague with us.
Fantastic. And
so if you see us, come and say hello.
Yeah, and yet again, if you are from around the Brno area or whatever and you're looking to get some regular football into your life, then please feel free to message us and join us. We'd be happy to bore you with our insights over 90 minutes beside the beer shack.
Yeah.
And section M. So The more the merrier.
Yeah, exactly. After this, I think, let me have a look at my running order here. It's going to be Beer of the Podcast.
Beer of the Podcast, and I'm up.
Are you now? I mean, I'm excited, but I'm not that.
I missed your cut there. Feel free to edit.
It's a beer. It's a beer. It's a.
Of the podcast, and we should stop this really quickly because we're probably running so far over time.
Very short on time. So, Beer of the Podcast this week, Sam bought it purely for the name, which I haven't seen yet. Sam, what's the name?
Name and location. I've gone local, and all right. I've been inspired by last podcast's Hibiscus Sour.
Yes.
So I've broken one of my rules, and I've got what is notionally an IPA from our friends at Lucky Bastard.
Okay.
Who have got Cherry Pussy.
Jesus Christ.
Cherry Pussy is a sour cherry fruit IPA.
Right.
Which is at 5.8%, a 14 degree, and I felt like something a bit fruity.
And a pussy.
I don't know.
I don't really know how to react.
I
to
love
it.
This because it's obviously trying to be edgy by having in the word pussy.
Yes.
But it doesn't make any sense, and it's automatically not dirty because
it's got a cartoon picture of a cat for a start,
and it's got one of these like almost like what you call them sphinx cats, so like a hairless sort of cat, you know, where it's all just like looks naked.
A hairless pussy, you mean?
That's the reference.
There it is.
That's the reference. You kiss your mother with that mouth. Two cherries for eyes.
Yes.
Do you like cherries?
I was going to make a popping cherry joke, but I won't.
Nice.
Not really.
You don't really like cherries?
I have no problem with cherries.
Okay, because I wasn't sure if you liked them or not, and then I was like, I don't really like IPAs or not. So,
all right, well,
let's have a go.
Let's do some pussy
this
diving, shall we?
Quite expensive, actually.
This
was it's a 750 millilitres, and this is 115 crowns. So
it's relatively pricey. Yeah. So here we go. Ooh, yeah. It smells similar to the one. It's slightly sweeter smell than the hibiscus beer.
Sold. That's great.
That's bloody delicious. That is
good, isn't it?
Oh, that's really good.
I'm pleased with this one. I finally got a good one. I've always had these really subpar Beer of the Podcast, and you've always sort of operated above that level, above the rim. That's great.
Step aside, dab swimming, man.
I reckon.
Don't step aside, but it's very different. It's a totally different idea, but delicious, man.
It's not... I thought it would be super fruity, and it's not super fruity. It's
perfect.
It's got that like, balance.
When you first sip it, it's slightly fizzy. It tastes like a beer, but when it hits the sort of middle back of your tongue, there's this sort of explosion of fruit. But it's not too sweet.
And
that's the thing. That's really good.
And
well
it's
done.
A pale ale, and it doesn't have that stupid hop characteristic that I hate.
Well so done. Excellent work on that one. Right.
30 seconds literally about our next game at home, I think, and then we'll finish up with a song.
Yeah, good stuff. In a couple of weeks, we've got a home game against Tiny Lego Soldier FC.
FC Cute Badge. Yes, yeah. We welcome our friends from the Moravian part of Ostrava for a Friday night encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Finished 8th last season, did all right, took a few hammerings on the way from us, but also reciprocated that sometimes. If you remember, I think, did they not win 6-0 at Snowymore or something
like that? They were... an entertaining team to follow. If you were a Vitkovice fan, it would have been a fun season, I think.
I very much enjoyed our game away as well. Where
the one I missed, yeah.
It was 2-1 after 8 minutes. Yeah. Ridiculous stuff. And there's not too much to say about them this season. So 3 points from 4 games, which also is like a bit... Well, they beat newcomer Slavoj, but they've lost to Žižkov, Hrudim and Jihlava.
But I will put a slight caveat in that even though we're only 4 games in, it already looks like the league nobody wants to win.
Yes.
There is, 3 points from 4 games still means you're, 3 points off the top or something ridiculous like that.
Well, the team that wants to win this is Jihlava, who are unbeaten and have a 4-point lead over us. So, 3 wins and a draw.
Yeah, but even 4 points after 4 games is not as bad as it should be. Yeah. Anyway.
And this is also, just a public service announcement to a lot of these Zbrojovka fans that are losing their rag already. We have never started a season well. It's the second part that comes good. And we're actually 2 points the better than we were at this point last season. And at this point last season, we'd lost 2 games, including one to that terrible Žižkov side.
Yes.
Let's go. All right.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
A word of sanity from your friend and mine.
Some kind of sanity. So basically, they're a small club with a small support.
And a massive stadium.
In the shadow of Banik. So a lot of their stuff has always been loans. 6 loanees out at the start of the season, 6 in. Quite a lot of these are from players who regularly go to different clubs every season. The weirdest signing, I just want to single this out, I know we've not got too much time, is Michal Strij.
Right.
Weird, weird loan signing. He was Viktoria Žižkov's left back for half of the season last season. Mm-hmm. At the start of the season when they were absolutely useless. He played no part in Žižkov's last 11 games when they saved themselves.
Okay.
And they've got him on loan. So I don't really get that. And he's played every minute for Vitkovice so far. So I'm not convinced at all.
He's got photos of Schuster's wife and Haloska. That's my answer to every confusing second division Czech football question I was. Why does this exist? Photos of Schuster's
banged
wife,
his
mate.
Wife, man. Yeah. Who knows for this team? Pretty much. It's worrying that they've lost to two of the worst teams from last season that stayed up, Hrudim and Žižkov.
Yeah.
Žižkov, I think, are going to be fine.
I think you
look
say,
like they've had some moxie.
Yeah, you say two of the worst teams that stayed up, but yeah, that's been quite harsh on Žižkov. They came really good towards the end of last season and have started quite strong. Like, that is a different team to the one that was in the first half of last season.
A win and a couple of draws, I think, already for Žižkov or something like that.
Yeah, they're a mid-table side now, Žižkov.
Hrudim,
I think,
will be, again, will struggle amongst the bottom. So, and I think, actually, Vitkovice might struggle as well if they keep up this form, but... You
but
know,
hey, they've got us.
But
so.
Things are, you know, these things are always temporary.
Yeah.
And you never really get that solidity with a team when you're constantly just building it on loan signings.
Yeah.
And that's where we have an advantage over these sort of teams in a league like this. So looking forward to that. And I'm looking at the clock counting down on the software.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be us for this broadcast.
I think that will be us. We're going to play you out with a song that has been occasionally popular on terraces around the UK. The Dons had... Was it the Dons had a song?
We had one for Jimmy
on
Calderwood.
This? Yeah.
Back in the day. And he's a bad man.
Right, okay. This band apparently has 5 members. I don't know what 3 of them are doing because it's a really, really badly mixed piece of music with a Moog just doing a few notes with no echo or reverb or anything. And hope you enjoy this. If you're coming to Olomouc or to Dukla Prague, we hope we'll see you there. If not, come and say hello to us at the top of Sector M in the home game against Vitkovice. And for this week, that's it.
Yes, so thanks, David. I'll see you tomorrow on the bus.
Bye. Yeah.
selected.